Now listen to me. You know, so many times we try to approach God on such a work mentality. I got to put on my charismatic side, or I got to put on my Pentecostal side, or I got to put on my supernatural side. You don't have to do anything. See, when the power of God was introduced to planet Earth in the book of Acts, it wasn't about a requirement, it was about an awakening. No, it wasn't about a requirement. When I found the supernatural side of God, or I should even say Christianity, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it wasn't about what I had to do. It's what I had access to. Oh, come on, don't make me come out there. You're looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Hello? I mean, I know we're in Texas and that's a familiar term, but listen, there's an awakening here. I am responding to my created nature. It is in my spiritual DNA. I was not created to serve the devil. I was not created to be a drug addict. I was not created to be an alcoholic. Come on. I was created to glorify the very one that I was created to look and be like. This is the easiest part of our existence. I was born and reborn into this purpose. I mean, so many times we just seem to... We're trying to take the 10% of our thinking capacity, which they say an average person uses in the brain, and to figure out God who's beyond 100%. It don't work. That's why the book of Acts became so confusing to so many believers years later, is because they tried to explain the Holy Ghost through natural perspectives. Now, perspective means judging and viewing things from a proper relationship. If you don't have a proper relationship with the Word of God, you're going to have an improper understanding of God. Come on. We're working too hard to get confused. No. I mean, it's the devil's going, yeah, guys. I mean, I'm sure on many sides of the track, the devil's getting inspired by us. It's like, where'd that concept come? I don't know, but I like that. Let's use that. But see, you got to understand, anytime there's an awakening, there will be a shakening. Don't make me body slam you. No, I'm just joking. No, there's a supernatural agenda that was placed in our DNA. That's why we can't be satisfied with life without the Creator in it. Because we were created to understand and know His system is supposed to bring the peace, the joy, all of the elements of what life really needs to be so-called happy. It's in our DNA. I tell people this all the time. The problem is not that there's a devil. The problem is that there's a God, and He loves us too much to let us forget Him. Because He knows without Him, we won't do what we were created to become. I mean, how many are wrestling? How many was this? This past year was just a wrestling year. Maybe with your identity. Maybe with your priorities. Maybe with your associations. Maybe with your relationships. It was just a trying time. And most of the time, it's because you tried to piece it together without God's approval. Now, come on. And the only reason God wants to approve things is not so He can control things. He just wants to make sure that you have constant access to the blessed part of life. He wants to make sure that there is no element of cursing that has access to your identity, destiny, eternity, because he loves us too much. Come on, guys. I know it's the first day and maybe you're freaking out with all the things that are going on. That's all right. If I was there, I would too. If I had to listen to a guy like me, I'd probably freak out even more. But you got to understand, I get it legally. I'm a Jesus freak. Everything about my life is connected to Jesus. There's nothing in my life that if it's not connected to Jesus, it doesn't get connected. I mean, I'm even into cross-dressing. Loosen up, guys. This is the bi-serious moment. You got to understand that God is not the God of crankiness. Come on, man. It's like we get into a service and for some reason it's like we turn the crank button on. Let's crank it up into crankiness. Man, the joy of the Lord! Joy of the Lord! Listen, our whole theme this week is based on Acts 17:6. Now, the King James Version is talking about these guys. They're telling Paul and Silas that they are trying to produce a takeover. I mean, how many's ever had a takeover moment? I went to DQ one time. In the beginning. Now I religiously go there. There's a sixfold commission that God has given me. Number one commission is we have a kingdom to build. Number two, we have a planet to invade. Number three, we have a world to save. Number four, we have a God to serve. Number five, we have a devil harass. And number six, we have a DQ to invade. And when I tasted the Butterfinger Blizzard, I mean, I felt like the Holy Ghost was coming. My taste buds, this guy over here is going, oh. You're with me, I can tell. My taste buds had a takeover. No, when I got introduced to Tex-Mex food, my taste buds had a revolution and a revelation that this is the food at the supper of the Lamb. But it was a takeover. Hello. When I moved to Texas from California to go to Bible college, I had a football takeover. I mean, I'm from the San Francisco area, well, Sacramento. And of course, if you're in California, in the northern part of California, you have to be a 49ers fan. When you're born and your birth certificate, your parents have to sign you in as a 49er fan. Right next to 6.5 pounds, 7.5 pounds, or 20 and a half pounds, whatever weight you were when you were born. That was my brother. He was a big boy. He was born into the third grade. It was awesome, but he's 6'6", so I can tell that. But we had to be 49ers fan. Well, when I went to Bible college in Texas, San Antonio, the Dallas Cowboys, man, it was like the biggest thing on planet. You know, that was just, if you weren't a Cowboy fan, you weren't going to heaven. I mean, basically, that's the way it was in Texas. Now, today, if you're a Cowboy fan, just pray you make it to heaven. I'm just joking. And so I became a big Dallas. I had a takeover. It's kind of like a paradigm shift. How many are Cowboy fans? All right, everyone stretch your hands towards them. Thank you, Father. There will be better days. Amen. But there are spiritual takeovers. The book of Acts was a supernatural takeover into the will of God. In fact, you got to understand this. Faith is the supernatural realm of belief. And so when the Holy Ghost, the book of Acts, you cannot skip over the book of Acts. Here's the book of Acts. You know, here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then here's Romans. Woo! You can't dive into Romans without going through Acts. Come on. The book of Acts is called, and you'll notice it in the front. If you'll open your Bibles, it says Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. I call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost. This week, it's called the Acts of the Takeover. Now, you got to understand, guys, when the Holy Ghost takes over, it's not this forceful. See, a lot of people think that action is a requirement of Christianity. No, it's not. It's an introduction to an action, but it's not the action. Because if it's an action, then it becomes all about works. No, it's not about works. It's about freedom. Ha! Ah! Oh, make me come out there. Oh, okay. You want me to? All right. I'm going to do it. Here. Let's go body surfing. Are you ready? All right. Right here. Get ready. You guys ready? All right. Here we go. Just joking. All right. But see, oh, everyone's going, ah. Oh. What do I look like? A puppy? Come on. That's what puppies get. Ah. Oh. But you got to understand. Listen, guys. Just because you're young people doesn't mean that you do not have a high order in the will of God. A lot of times, you know, I just came back from doing a camp up in Minnesota, and I told the kids, I says, you know what the church is going to have to do? Somewhere along the line, the church needs to apologize to branding the junior high and the high school kids. Because what happens is when we brand you, did you know that there wasn't even such a thing as the word teenager in the early 1900s? And it wasn't until did you know that the Azusa Street Revival, that 80% of the miracles that took place there was not from William Seymour. It was from young people, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19. I mean, we're talking major miracles, legs grown out, blind healed. But somewhere when we identified you with a certain age bracket, we also put a behavior bracket with it. Like, well, this is all, I don't have to do this, or this is as good as it's going to get because I'm junior higher, or I'm a high school. This is, listen, man, you're not a junior high. You're not a junior higher. You're not a senior higher. You are a servant of the Most Higher. And he's ready to hire you. And when he comes into this realm in your life, all of a sudden, it requires something different, but it's not a requirement out of works. It's a requirement out of freedom. I am free to be who God had created me to be. And guess what? It bypasses permission from your personality. Because most of us judge our ability with our personality. We even judge services. We judge how we receive music, worship, teachings. I mean, you're going to have all kinds of personalities this week. If you've never been here before, brace yourself. If you have, release yourself. I mean, we got all kinds of personalities, from Planet of the Apes to King Kong. Hello. I mean, we have all kinds of different, but if your personality is what's going to judge the receiving factor, then you're going to get more word out of maybe Chip Brim, or more word out of Jeremy, or more word out, because, and it's okay. See, I've come to the conclusion in our services, it's okay to have spectators, because you have to be a spectator before you can become a participator. I don't care if you come with just interest, as long as you come. Because once you get there, it is impossible when the awakening takes place that a shakening into a takeover doesn't happen. It's impossible. The book of Acts couldn't, the people in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas, they couldn't help themselves. They woke up in the morning and they're going, okay, today is the day we're going to behave ourselves. No conflict. No opening the envelope, persecution. We're just going to wait. Are you kidding me? The awakening. The awakening could not help them do anything less. When I got born again, I had an awakening. I was 12 years old. I'm a Baptist boy at a Baptist church, but I had an awakening. On Monday, I got saved. On Monday, I'm 12 years old. And I go knocking on doors, people's doors, to tell them about Jesus. Now, when I got saved that Sunday and the pastor prayed over me to receive Jesus, and it was a supernatural salvation, he didn't say, now tomorrow, when you get up, go knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. There was an awakening. It self-propels the will of God. Your created nature all of a sudden wakes up. This is too big to keep it to myself. Paul and Silas, that's all they couldn't help themselves. It was too big for them to keep inside. Jeremiah says, I'm not going to say another word. These people aren't worth it. They're a bunch of ding-dongs. I mean, they wouldn't know what revelation knowledge is even if it slapped them in their face. I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to say a word. And all of a sudden, he hears this rumbly and the tumbly. How many of you ever heard when you're hungry and your stomach wants to vote for attention? Earthquake! No, when you get that... Well, that's what Jeremiah says. It was like a fire shut up in his bones. The awakening brings a shakening, and the shakening brings a takeover. Are you ready to be taken over? So when I got saved, man, I'm 12 years old. Do we have any 12-year-olds here? You're 12 years old? Okay. Wow, you're 12 years old? All right, come on up here, buddy. Come here. You're 12 years old? All right, come on up here. All right, so I'm this guy's age. Of course, I was a lot. You're tall for your age. Okay, do I have a smaller 12-year-old? I'm just joking. Well, I'm 12 years old. I get saved, and I start knocking on people's door. There was an awakening. There was something now in charge. Listen, in charge of my personality, my understanding, that overrode or overtook my weaknesses and insecurities. They branded me when I was a child an introvert. Come on. You know what introvert means in the Greek? License to be stupid. No, come on. Rick Renner, it's right there. I'm just joking. I'm going, I must have missed that book. But when I got saved, all of a sudden there was an awakening that brought a shakening that produced a takeover. So I get up the next morning and guess what I do? 12 years old. I start knocking on people's doors. Telling them about Jesus, man. It was like I couldn't do anything else. See, Paul and Silas, all the book of Acts is the acts of the Holy Ghost. It was a takeover. It was a spiritual awakening. They couldn't help but do it. Listen, when you become born again, and when you become spirit-filled, and when you come to a 1440 conference, hopefully when you leave here, you don't leave here with an understanding of how to be a better witness. That you're going to understand how to be a better servant of the Most High God. And out of that, you become that witness. Amen. Thank you, buddy. What's your name?
Dijen.
Huh?
Dijen.
Oh, I like that name, even though I couldn't pronounce it. That's awesome. Are you catching this? I said, are you catching this? So what's happening this week? You're going to have a supernatural awakening. Don't need a new strategy. Don't even need a new attitude. We got enough of those to last for a lifetime. We need an awakening. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. Woo! And he awakens us to a place that requires something from us, from the place of peace and rest. God's not going to call us to do something that we don't like. He calls us into his image, and then all of a sudden, we like it. See, that's that mentality, that 10%. Well, I hope God doesn't call me to China. Come on, man. See, you're trying to figure, you got to understand, God can never fit into our concepts. He's too big. He's an XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX And if we only use 10% of our thinking capacity, come on, guys, give yourself a break. Admit it. Sometimes we're stupid. The Bible says we look through a dark glass dimly, so I call myself a dimwit. Because sometimes I'm a dimwit. Because I'm trying to figure out God with this 10% concept. Or I'm trying to figure it out by the secular arena out there. Or because of some professor that said God is dead. Come on. How many saw that movie? God is not dead. Do we have a revolution today? Do you want a revolution? Do you want... Don't make me start doing the dance. That's scary. Come on. There is no way that this white boy trapped in a white man's body can do that dance. Do it. She's over here. Do it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, do it. Now, I trust you to do it. But you got to understand, man, this awakening, it's not there to be intimidating. It's there to be liberating. Well, don't make me come out there. What'd you come here for this week? If you don't know, you can borrow from me. I'll give you a reason. We got a kingdom to build. We have a world to save. We have a planet to invade. We have a God to serve. We have a devil to harass. And we got a DQ to... No, I'm just joking. When I met my wife, my heart was overtaken. Yeah. Up until that point, I just thought, life is easy. And then I met the foundation of life, besides Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Of course, my wife always thinks, you know, she always feels like her and the Holy Ghost are on the same level. I didn't realize when I married Miss Wright, it was always right. But you got to understand, man, my heart, it was overtaken. It was moved from a different place. See, this week, God wants a supernatural takeover. Come on. God wants to produce a supernatural takeover. But you're going to have to be there. The thing about I love about God is he's not forceful. But he is a force. He is not forceful, but he is a force. You get into his presence, it requires something of you. But in the requirement, it's not like I'm forced to do this. It's like I desire to do this. And it's time for this generation. See, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at 14 years old, it was a spiritual takeover. I mean, I went to a different level. Some of you that know my testimony, man, I was a church brat. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many of you have been a church brat or how many are you still. Oh, thank you for your honesty. There is deliverance. I'm just joking. What state are you from? Texas. That's why. Man, Texas. I'm just joking. No, Texans they think they have their own country. See? Two or three witnesses. Hello. And I love that. It's like you have your own country. And with that, there's a whole different mentality. It's like they're just a little bit different. Like, we're on our way down here, and we stopped on the from Shreveport, and we stopped on the outside of Dallas and on I-20, and I said, is this the quickest way to Fort Worth? And this Texas, he got this, you know, he's got a bush sticking out of his mouth. You know, one of those straw, like hay, you know, just sticking out. Got this cowboy hat. The hat looks like it's 237 years old. Looks like it's been formed, reformed, and reformed again. I mean, it was like, and he just talking real slow. Like, I fell asleep three times just talking. And I go, sir? Yeah. And the whole time he's looking at my hair. Not looking at me, he's looking at... Did you do that on purpose? I go, what? The hair. I go, what's wrong with the hair? Well, ground here, you could get killed for that. God bless you, we're on our way. No, I'm just joking. So I asked him, I said, so what's the quickest way from here to Fort Worth? He goes, you driving or you walking? I said, well, I'm driving, of course. He goes, that's the quickest way. I'm going, I love this country. But you came here this week for something you didn't get where you left. Now, how many of you are serious enough to dive into it? Then you can't get into the book of Romans until you walk or dive into the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is all about a takeover. See, every element, listen, of our acquaintance, listen, every element in our acquaintance with Jesus brings a takeover. That's why the word says old things pass away and all things become new. From glory to glory, he changes every time we have access to this supernatural atmosphere. There is a takeover. And it's not like, what do I have to give up? See, most of the time when we approach God, while we're approaching him, and before we get into his anointing, and we're walking out of the non-anointed world, we're starting to put the pieces together going, what am I going to have to give up? We're walking to the altar. Am I going to have to give up him? Am I going to have to give up her? And am I going to have to give up that? It's all about giving up until you walk into his presence and you meet the man who gave up everything. And when you meet the major give up, you surrender and give up. Because when you get into his presence, it requires a takeover. Come on, man. Praying in tongues should be as, it should be as free, accessible, and it should be as common as you speak English. Now, Texans don't speak English. I understand that. They even have their own language. Y'all, yellow. Yeah, they don't ever say hello. They, yellow. I'm going, orange. I'm just joking. How many are not from Texas? Well, I just got to tell you, there is hope for you. You are the hope. What state are you from?
Texas.
All right. Let's get back to the other revolution. All right. I'm feeling something going on here. Okay. It's okay not to be from Texas. Okay, it's okay to want to be from Texas. Hey, it's okay to be followers of the Most High. Amen. But listen, something's going to jump inside of you this week. Get ready. and it's okay. But in the process of that, you got to know you're going to leave something too. Something's going to jump inside of you, but in its jumping inside, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a new level of revelation knowledge that is going to produce this other realm that says, man, I got to get rid of some stuff. And it's not like I have to. It's like I got to, because it doesn't fit within the system of what I'm now created to serve. And it's okay. It has nothing to do with making you feel more spiritual about leaving here than when you came. It comes about being understanding the greatness of God and what it requires for that greatness to become complete. Ah! Oh! And it's devil booty kicking time. Every time, now listen, man, every time you have an awakening, there's a shakening. And out of that, the main reason we're not responding the way Christianity is supposed to respond is because we're trying to do it without the book of Acts. We're trying to do it without a takeover. Come on. The empowerment of Romans all the way to Revelation was the empowerment through the power of the Holy Ghost. It required something of them to be the spokesman for hope. The Holy Ghost releases the empowerment of all elevations of life. Not just the miraculous healing of cancer and blindness and leprosy. It brings a new level of freedom and miraculous to peace, to joy, to understanding, to relationships, to the greatness of who He is. That there is a greater miracle. To walk out of here loving Jesus like you never loved Him before. It's not just about a gathering. It's about a covenant. And I got to tell you, man, I've been working with young people. This February 15th will be on my 40th year that I've been working with young people. And I have a selfish reason why I continue to work with you. Because in the last days, you're going to be a vital part of what God's going to do. And if I can hide in the midst of you or amongst you, maybe He won't forget me. I can imagine. What's the old man doing with the young people? Oh, that's just Steve. Oh, okay. But it's time for an awakening that produces what? A shakening. That produces what? A takeover. How many are ready for a takeover? I mean, it's easy to say, take over my drug addiction, take over my alcoholism, take over my pornography, take over all. It's easy to put that because that's almost, that's in the limelight of our faults. But what really matters, those are just, listen, those are just the invites from an irregular heart relationship with God. They're not greater than that. Get to that part. Let the Holy Spirit take over in here. And guess what? Those issues are non-issues anymore. Come on. We're working so hard to overcome sin instead of working so hard to come in with Him. Come on. I tell people this all the time. You don't need Eminem. You need Him and Him. You don't need Guns N' Roses, you need God and Moses. Come on. You don't need Beverly Hills 901, 90210. You need Heavenly Thrills of the One I Know. You don't need Garth Brooks, you need God's book. You don't need Ace of Base, you need the Face of Grace. No, you got to understand, there's a system in place. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 44 times. 44! Can you imagine the people going, Jesus, we get it. And He just kept coming back. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven is likened, the kingdom of God is likened. Kingdom of heaven is a place, kingdom of God is a system. He wanted to remind you that this system that we were reborn, well, we were born into and reborn into the acquaintance thereof, takes priorities of our identity. Woo! Come on. Girls, you weren't created to be the next victim of some guy's lustful emotions. Thank you for the okay. And guys, you weren't created to be the proof that there is lust on planet Earth. See, that's at junior high, senior high. Well, I'm a senior. I'm supposed to have sex. I'm a high school. I'm a teenager. Sex is part of the deal. Well, no, you're laughing and you're probably going, that's ridiculous, but yet that's what we've been following. Come on. The stats say it. So I guess some part of it. Well, we're about to have a takeover. Amen. Something's not just going to have to change. Something is going to change. Jesus is in the house. Get your spiritual antennas up right now. Get your spiritual antennas up. Ora halamanda rabasa. We might as well dive into the book of Acts. Because without the book of Acts, Romans will mean nothing to you. Living in the Spirit without the Holy Spirit is going to be about as confusing as a cow going to a department store. What's that doing there? And what am I doing here? You got to understand, without the book of Acts, without a spiritual, supernatural takeover, you can't even understand the element of faith of what it's there to do. How many have believed for something through faith and it didn't happen? Raise your hand. And yet Jesus said it in Matthew 9:29, according to what? Your faith, be it unto you. It's because we're trying to operate faith through knowledge and not through the supernatural. Come on. You got to understand, faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of belief. And the supernatural is here. Come on. What does it do? When you pray in tongues, what does it do? It builds you up. What does it build you up to make you feel better about yourself? So you can do a selfie and feel good about it? I'm gonna put it on Instagram. Yeah. No, Jesus came to deliver us from three things. Number one, sin. Number two, hell. Number three, from selfies. Come on. But he is imparting this generation with a new set of priorities. You're going to leave here and go and charge. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I got back to my hometown of Roseville, California, guess what I did? As soon as our youth group was over, first of all, I had to get things right with my youth pastor because I was a church brat. Got it. I know what you're doing. He's praying in tongues over, praying that the anointing stays in its place. Because it's through the anointing that something gets broken. Woo. And so here I go back to my youth group. I was a church brat, scared all the girls away from the youth ministry. I mean, one time we had like 30 kids. Now we're down to 12 guys. I mean, seriously, man, we were bad. I mean, we'd make fun of the girls. Every time we saw them, we'd either bark or moo. You know that's not good, right? Bark means you're a dog. Moo means you're a cow. And Miles understands. He was one of those girls. I'm just joking. Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. All right. Yeah, see the mooing already. You thought you were going boo. I knew it was a moo. All right. But when I get into this, all of a sudden I come out of this awakening. And I get into my youth group. Going to listen to my boring youth pastor again. I mean, I used to think he was so boring that his call and anointing on life was to put us into a comatose stage. Because he figured if he could get us to sleep, no harm would come nigh his dwelling place. Because we would lock him in the closet. No, one time we locked our youth pastor in the closet and went to downtown Roseville, California. Yeah, this is a takeover, isn't it? Wait. I'm not egging this on. What's your youth pastor's name? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd like to see you try to put Pastor John. Don't think it can be done, my friend. And so, listen, I shook hands with him and hugged him back here, man, and I had to go to chiropractor twice afterwards. It was like, I'm just joking. Hey, how you doing? It was like, whoa. I was like, he's the man. I gave him 3 man cards before I got done shaking hands with him. It was awesome. But you got to understand the supernatural agenda. So, you know, we lock my youth. Yes, Lord. Okay. Yes, I will. Right after the service? Immediately after the service? I will. Love you too. It was the Lord. He told me I needed to get to the prayer closet as soon as I got done preaching. Sometimes I have to spend more time in the prayer closet after I preach than before I preach. Now you understand why. Right, Miles? Anyway, so. So, you know, I get baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's an awakening. Produced a shakening. I go back to the same seat, same room, same youth pastor. But this time, whoo, there was a takeover. Something. I sat in that chair, me and my guys. Guess what, man? We broke into the lost and found because we didn't have a Bible. I had a big family Bible, you know, 47.5-pound family Bible. I mean, I never knew what it said. I just knew it was part of the family. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Word. I go to Bible college, and some girl comes up to me and says, "The Lord gave me a word for you. It's in Hezekiah 4:6. 3 hours later, I realize there's no Hezekiah in the Bible. I go, "I need to come to Bible college. Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible. It's about a man in the Bible, but it's not one of the books of the Bible." You're going, "Oh, yeah." So I grab a Bible, and we're just sitting there, and Pastor Russ comes out, and here we are sitting there in our chairs, and man, we are the cow at a new gate. And it was like we are looking at him with a whole new level of expectations and anticipations, because that's what God does. He draws you into the presence of hunger. He draws you, come on, to a new level of thirst. You know what the book of Acts says to all the rest of the books? Stay thirsty, my friends. That's what it does. The book of Acts says to all of the rest of the books, stay thirsty, my son, my friends, and I'm going to make sure you do. So here he comes in, and we're sitting there with these Bibles that we got out of Lost and Found. I mean, we got like 3 or 4 of them on piece. I couldn't believe when we opened it up, we broke the lock off with a crowbar. There was hundreds of Bibles. I go, "Don't anybody care about where their Bibles are?" I mean, they had pink ones, they had white ones, they had blue ones, they had Mormon ones. We didn't care. We just started grabbing them. And we got a case of Bibles sitting there right next to us. And I got one opened, and I'm just looking at him, and he walks in, and he sees us. And he goes, "What's wrong, guys?" And we're just looking at him. We couldn't even say anything. Because I felt whatever I was going to say was going to take away what I needed to hear. And he goes, "You guys aren't going to lock me in a closet again, are you?" And it was like this spiritual voice inside of me said, "Feed me, Seymour, feed me." awakening, a shakening, a takeover. The book of Acts is all about a takeover. Are we going to have a takeover week? Are you ready for one more story? Could I give you one more story? Because when Lacey had texted me that this was the theme for this week, something just jumped inside of me. You know, because there are themes that we have at 1440 that aren't themes that we just come up with. We don't go to the room of cuteness and cute idea rooms and just sit around going, let's think of a cool cause, a cool name, a cool slogan. No, they get it from the awakening. See, there's a different access we have to the authority of God when we walk from an awakening. Thank you, bud. What's your name? Huh? Caleb? Where are you from, Caleb? Huh? Pennsylvania. Woo! They have Christians in PA. I know that. I could just see the hunger level on you, bud. There's something about, how old are you? Is there a height requirement from where you're from? Oh, you're 17, Caleb. Wow, that name's familiar. I'm not sure, but I think there's somebody in the Bible with that name. I'm just joking. I know there is. You're looking at me like, this man's lost it. I've not lost it. I just never found it. You can't lose something you never find. But I just got to tell you, Caleb, there's a hunger level in your heart, man. Get your hands up. Would you stretch your hands towards Caleb? Whatever the assignment of why the Lord sent you here this week is all about, it's going to be all in you. Everything that you've desired to have answers to that weren't really that difficult, you just needed a confirmation. God's going to confirm it by His Spirit. Can I tell you something without you being alarmed? There's the call of God on your life. In a special degree of calling. Everyone's called, but there's a special degree of calling. Get ready. God's about to have a takeover. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this man of God. And I thank you that this moment signifies a new level of desire, hunger, and commitment to the call. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, back to page one. Can I finish this? How are we doing? We good? Marie, it's so good to see you. When did you learn drums? That's awesome. I'm just joking. But listen, every time there was an awakening, it produced a takeover. And it wasn't something that I was forced to do. It was something that I couldn't help but do. It was like God didn't grab me and go, okay, I'm taking over. Oh, sit there. Do this. No, it was like, I want to fulfill something in my life that I was created to do. See, God never created anything that wasn't created to do something. Everything God created, He created it to do something. Come on. That's why the devil hates his created mode. Because if he can get us to believe that we crawled out, you know, from the goo to the zoo to you, it removes the power of being something and doing something. But our created nature was created out of that element. He created us to do something. And do something big. Big means what? Believe in God. It's good to see you back, bud. What year is this for you? 20 years. Wow. I flunked math. Wow. Have you heard us before? Have you heard me speak before? and you keep coming back? What a man of faith. But are you ready for this? I was playing golf in 1974 in Shreveport, Louisiana, with a guy by the name of Steve Poole and this guy that I'm sure you don't know, but his name is Jerry Savelle. Well, Brother Jerry, and of course, there's a lot of history between Brother Jerry and my wife and his wife. They're good friends. They grew up together, next door neighbors, Anyway, so Brother Jerry, I got acquainted with him through my wife and the relationship. So Brother Jerry played golf, and he was in Shreveport, and he said, Steve, you want to go play some golf? And of course, man, golf is my life. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen me play golf. But if you've seen me play golf, the first reaction that you're going to have is like, wow, what is this man doing out on this course? You're going to scratch your head going, is he serious? You ever seen the new commercial with the Aflac duck in the golf? That's me. Without the wings. But Brother Jerry invited me, and I knew Brother Jerry, and I love Brother Jerry, and I said, okay, let's go play golf. Well, make a long story longer, what happened was we got out on the course, we finished the golf, and as we're going to our cars, I'm going to my car, and he was going with, it was Steve, who he was related to. I think they were brother-in-laws. And he hands me this cassette tape. And I look at it, and it had Kenneth Copeland on it. This is before I heard of Hagen. And on it, and this is 1970. Not 74, 78. See, at my age, I always tell people, I said, I have the mind of Christ, but I have the memory of God. Took a little while for the Texans. See, that revolution is all right there. It's, yeah. Hey, he goes, oh, well, oh, hey. Typical Texas remark. I know. Yeah, the car. That'll be quicker. All right. So I get this cassette tape, and when I saw Kenneth Copeland's name on it, I went, see, I was told that I wasn't allowed to listen to Kenneth Copeland because he was real radical on a thing called faith. Now, up to this point, I always thought faith was a major part of who we were. Hello, McFliver. And so I thought, I'm going to listen to this. Because I knew Brother Jerry, respected Brother Jerry. He gave me the tape. I listened to the tape. The name of the tape was The Authority of the Believer. Never heard of the authority of the believer. I heard about being a believer, but I never heard about the authority of the believer. Guess what? I had a paradigm shift. I had an awakening. Then there was a shakening. And then there was a takeover. There was a paradigm shift. All of a sudden, I have authority. I can cast out devils. I can cast out sickness. That Satan has no authority. That it was given to me. I'm going, ah! Come on, baby. Devil booty kicking time. Now, at this point, I was into music, and we had a band. How many's ever heard of the band Sunshine Band? That was us. It was a different band, but I always use Sunshine because there were several bands. KC and the Sunshine. Anyway, never mind. And so I had this band called Sunshine, and we were invited to do a concert at Air Force Base in Bossier. Barksdale Air Force Base. Well, let me try to make this short because I want to get to the point. When we got to the Air Force Base, there's about 200 military men that we're going to minister to. When we got there, and we're in our vans, and we had a Frito-Lay truck, the old Frito-Lay truck, and that was all of our equipment in there. It was so cool. We had like 20 speakers. Only two of them worked, but we had them. Because back then, we do the pyramid style. That was the cool rock and roll, baby. Even only one speaker on each side, it just looked cool that actually worked. And we set up, and of course, man, you have no idea. When we got there, I meet the chaplain. The chaplain flags me down. We had to go through security and all this stuff, you know, to get on the base. And the chaplain says, "Steve, we got a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" He says, "Well, you see everything dug up?" And I go, "Yeah." He says, "Well, we are putting new, we're trying to update all of these old army barracks and all this stuff that's been there for years." And I said, "Okay, what's that got to do with us?" He says, "Well, one of the oldest buildings that we have out here is what we use as the chapel. And in trying to find the electrical outlet that feeds the chapel, we still haven't been able to find it. I knew that you guys were going to be here today, and we've been working overtime trying to find out so we could make sure you guys have enough electricity, because we know your band is large. I mean, we had two drummers. We had a guy and a girl drummer. We had like three guitar players. We had a trumpet player. I mean, we had, bass. I mean, we had the whole works, and we had like four vocals. And so, I mean, it's huge." And so when I got there, he says, and I said, "Well, what's that got to do with us?" He says, "Well, with all of your equipment, you plug in, I got to tell you, chances are, as old as this is, something's going to blow." And I go, "Okay." And he says, "And if it does, we can't fix it, because we don't know where the outlet to all of this starts." And I went, "Okay." So I walk in there and said, "No biggie, you know me. It's like, hey, everything's good." "Yeah, come on, all right." So here we go. We set up, about 2 hours of setting up. We have a sound check. Everything's cool. And it's a lot like this, except cramped quarters. I mean, it's 200 people, but the stage, you know, we got it packed with, you know, 20 speakers, 10 on each side. Hello. And we got all this set up. So I told the band, I said, "Now here's the deal." Right before we prayed, before we went on concert, and we had 14 songs on our repertoire. And I said, here's the whole deal. I shared with him what the chaplain told us. And I said, "If the electricity goes out, then we'll just fold all the cords up and we'll just have a Bible study." And they said, "Okay." And so we get up there and we do our very first song. The guitar player goes, "Eh!" And when he goes, "Eh!" everything went, "Ew." All the lights went out, everything. All the amps went off. I went, I'm just sitting there, you know. I'm the lead guy, and I'm holding the mic, and I'm going, And I turned around to look at the band. When I turned around with the look of the band wasn't even responding. You know what they were doing? Unplugging their cords from their amplifiers and started to roll them up. And when I saw that, I started thinking of that cassette tape from Kenneth Copeland, "The Authority of the Believers," calling those things in as though they were. And something took over me. I looked back, and that authority started to rise up. I said, "Stop!" Kind of freaked them out. Several of them dropped the cord. "Whoa!" All the guys are looking at me. I mean, we're talking 200 military men. They're all looking at me like, and when the electricity went off, they went, "Oh." And my band members, my wife is sitting in the front row. And I just remembered the authority of the believer. When there's an awakening, there's a shakening. When there's a shakening, there's a takeover. Something took over me. I said, "Stop. In the name of love." Just joking. "Stop. In the name of God, before I break your faith," thinking, I'm just joking. I said, "Stop!" And I looked out. That awakening started to shake me into responding to a takeover. And I said, "How many of you soldiers out there believe in power?" They all went, "Yeah! You understand power. Yeah, M16. Yeah. We blow things up. And that's a good day." I'm going, "Okay. Be nice." I thought we're going to have a riot. And I said, "How many believe in the power?" "Yeah." "How many believe in the power of God?" "Yeah." I said, how many believe God can turn this electricity back on? Well, my wife, she's in the front row. She's going, oh, Jesus. He's lost it again. I could see it. I could see it right there. My band members are all looking at me like, and they're looking at each other like, what do we do? He's never done this before. But man, I'm adamant. When there's an awakening, there's a shakening. And when there's a shakening, there's an overtaking. And I said, how many believe that God created electricity? And they went, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. I go, well, he did. Okay. Yeah. I said, how many believe that God can turn this electricity back on? My whole band member's like, oh, Jesus. My wife now going to intercession prayer. She's going, I could read her lips. Why, Lord? Why me? Why me? I married a crazy man. That's what they said about the disciples. Come on. Paul and Silas, you're crazy. You're turning the world upside down. Paul says, excuse me. We're putting it back in its rightful order. The conflict is not us. The conflict is you. I mean, that's what Elijah said in chapter 17 of 1 Kings to Ahab. He says, you're turning this whole kingdom upside down. Ahab said to Elijah, and Elijah said, it's not me, king, it's you, because you've allowed a different world to govern what God never meant to be governed by. And I said, how many believe? Well, listen, man, these soldiers, yes, I see that hand. I see that flashlight. That means the service over there is over. Okay, guys, I'm going to have to finish this later. Okay, I'll finish it now. I'll do it quick. I just wanted to see how many Texans I still had. Yoo-hoo! Okay, the bottom line was, I said, let's grab hands and let's pray. My band members reluctantly did it. They did it out of respect, but definitely not out of faith. But these men out there looked at each other. When I said to grab hands, soldiers don't grab hands. They looked at each other like, I said, okay, guys, how about fingers? Can we work with fingers? They're all going, okay. We said the prayer. All of a sudden, when I said amen, no joke, all the electricity came on. Whew! My wife's going, it worked! It worked! But when these men saw it, they went, we had 14 songs on our repertoire. We added three more. I went 17. I said, take that, devil. Did all of the concert, the whole concert, did the altar call and everything. And when I said amen at the altar call, when we prayed for these men to receive Jesus, the electricity went out, never came back on again. 2 days later, I get a call from the chaplain. He says, Steve, the people don't believe me. They said they saw where it was fried, and there's no way you could have had electricity. I said, when there's an awakening, there's a shakening. And when there's a shakening, there's a takeover. Get your hands up. Father, I thank you for this opportunity today to walk in the revelation knowledge of what you're about to produce with the servants of the Most High. Not just junior high, not just senior high, but servants of the Most High. You have commissioned them for such a time as this. And this week, we're getting ourselves ready for it. We got a world, we got a planet, we got a kingdom to build, a world to save, a planet to invade, a God to serve, and a devil to harass, and we're ready to do it now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.